السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الصلاة. حي الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده سبحانه وأستعينه وأتوب إليه وأستغفره، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم هو رسول الله وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك على محمد وعلى آله وعلى صحبه وعلى من اتبع هداه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. آمين. I bear witness that there is no other God but Allah. Praise to Him in His Highness, the Creator of life, who has sent His messengers out of love to humanity to guide us from the darkness of ignorance to the wisdom and light of His Sharia, of His book. I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets, and he has been sent as mercy to humanity. May Allah, praise to him, send peace and blessings to his soul and to the souls of his wives, his descendants, his companions, and the believers who have been following him until the day of judgment. Ameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, As-Sunnah Al-Musharrafa and its position in the Islamic religion. And for sure, As-Sunnah al-Musharrafah is the second source of tashri' in Islam. Every now and then we see a government, some rulers, or some influential people trying to interfere in the faith, in the source of faith. Sometimes they attack the messenger himself, alayhi salatu wassalam, like we saw in a decade ago, cartoons and other smearing. Sometimes they attack the Quran itself, its verses. And these days we may hear about here or there some attempts to mess up with the Sunnah. Nobody can do that. Muslims for 1400 years have been working hard, and the Sunnah is a science in itself, very meticulous, very rigorous science, actually, if you read about it. How the brilliant brains of the Islamic world for 1300 years, this is because the start for collecting hadith started in the second century Hijri. When you read about what they did to make sure the hadith is correct, it has to be sound, safe, continuous chain of narrators. Not only that, it's a science about the men themselves who narrated. If there was any doubt about the character of the narrator, then the hadith would not be sahih. Among these great collectors of hadith, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and they did their best, actually. In one area I read, Al-Bukhari collected about 600,000 hadiths, and Muslims 300,000 hadith. Then they started bringing them down, scrutinizing them, smaller and smaller and smaller. Then other, in fact, scholars of Islam since that time until our day, they have been scrutinizing hadith and talking about it and making sure that we know hadith sahih, that's sound, agreed upon, or hasan, good, or da'if. And they say it's da'if, it's weak, or munkar, or mawdu'. Everything is laid down. There is no secret anymore. And from what I read, most recent efforts, actually, a scholar called Saleh Ahmed al-Shami, and he really went to what is in common between Al-Bukhari and Muslim, among only the Sahih, excluding everything else, and other six Sunnah books, actually, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and other, Musnad Ahmad. He went up to 14 books, and he gave us his effort, in fact, about 3,900 something, 31 I think, that he said all agreed upon. And like him, without exaggerations, thousands of scholars since the second Hijri century until today, they have been working this, and our Ummah will continue. Scholars will continue doing that. There should be no doubt about the position of Sunnah. We should not be afraid that any government or ruler or enemy or a friend or even one of us will try to put it down. They can't really. We have a humongous amount of research, and especially in this time with the communication revolution and information revolution and the internet, nobody can hide, nobody can control the minds of people. People can reach the truth on their own, but also it's our job as community of believers to also say something about it, to confirm among ourselves the faith, to educate ourselves and educate our families, our friends. That's our job. But I'm not afraid, I'm not scared. Nobody scares me about that. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent His Quran to guide the humanity, and He has sent His messengers to explain His scriptures. In this case, this is the position of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi afdal salatu wassalam, to explain the Quran. And it's not just explanation. My focus today is very specific, about very specific hadith. For example, hadith Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, the most famous hadith, shahadat, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah bless with both of them. Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa iqam al-salati, wa ita' al-zakati, wa hajj al-bayti, wa sawm Ramadan. And this hadith is muttafaq alayh, meaning both Bukhari and Muslim agreed on that, and it's a correct hadith. Look at what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. These are our ibadat, the five ibadat. He summarized them. Where did he get these from? Well, from the Holy Quran. He summarizes to us. He wants to put in front of us the ibadat in one simple hadith. Take for example al-shahada. Where did he get that? If you want to be a Muslim, or you have to make shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. When we read in Ali Umran, this is chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, verse 18, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. In this ayah, Allah says, I bear witness that there is no God except myself, Himself, praise to Him. And also the angels testified, bear witness that He is the only God Himself. And the scholars, people with knowledge, also bear witness that He is the only God, for example. This is where Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam brought the idea of shahadatain. You cannot be a Muslim until you make shahada that Allah is one. This is it. What about the second one? And Muhammad, peace be to him, is his messenger. This is Al-Ahzab. And these are just examples. There are so many other verses. Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 40. Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Here, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Muhammad is not a father of a male among you. It's a stating a fact that his male children died. And Muhammad is the messenger, the ayah says, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and the seal of prophets. And Allah knows everything. So this is where shahadatain came from. I want you to be with me, showing you examples about a sunnah represented in this case in hadith, because sunnah can be acts, can be sayings, and can be approval by the Prophet about what people were doing. So this is the source, the Holy Quran. How can you dismiss this hadith? If you dismiss it, you are dismissing these ayat. Second, as-salah. We know that as-salah was ordained by Allah Azza wa Jal when Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was at the night journey, the ascent to heavens, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Allah decided, ordained, decreed that we make salah. And He mentioned when in several ayats. But how do we pray? It's not in the Quran. It is what Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam did. And he himself performed the salah. and his companions performed with him, then the ones, and they taught it to their children and grandchildren, and it reached us. The Quran has nothing about adhan or iqama, or what to say in the first rak'ah, or in ruku' or sujood. That is the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام who did that. As Jibreel, peace to him, taught him. So after the ulama sunnah says, when he returned from al-Isra wal-Mi'raj journey, then the following morning, Jibreel, peace be to him, taught him how to pray and how to make wudu first. And in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53 of the Holy Quran, verse 5, يَقُولُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. He was taught by the one who is mighty. That's Jibreel, peace be to him. And in hadith narrated by Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. And this hadith says, he is talking to the Ummah in his time and until the Day of Judgment. Pray as you saw me praying. This is summary. If you want to write it, I attempted really to write it. It is so many pages to write to explain that. وَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَلْيُؤَذِّنْ لَكُمْ أَحَدُكُمْ. And when the time for prayer comes, he said, then one of you should start making adhan, which is called for a prayer. People are sitting in another room or in a grocery store out there. The prayer voice of the caller would bring people. This is in the hadith. وَلْيَأُمُّكُمْ أَكْبَرُكُمْ. I understand it, أَكْبَرُكُمْ سِنًّا. It's not, sinan is not there, but this is how I understand it. And your imam, if everybody is equal, it's preferred the daily prayers every time. The one who memorized Quran best and one who recites best should be the imam. But if it is occasional like al-Jum'ah, we are allowed to be imams. But this is not in the Quran. This is a hadith. This is the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that, explaining the decree by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, zakah, the ordained charity that we pay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the zakah so many times, most of the time following the salah. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And example of that is Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse 43. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, perform prayers and give zakah and make ruku' or sujood, يعني continuous in the salah. That's it. He doesn't tell us how much is the zakah. He didn't tell us when is the zakah. Is there a difference between, for example, agricultural products and gold or money? All this was answered by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who told us through his companions that it is رُبْعِ العشر, which is about 2.5%. That's money. Then he detailed about agricultural zakah. If the crop is only dependent on rain, it's different from if it is irrigated. Because if it is irrigated, then the farmer would pay more money, would have more expenses. Therefore, the zakah would be less. There's nothing like that in the Quran. How can we separate sunnah from the Quran? We can't. And fourth, Sawm Ramadan. That's our fourth ibadah, or our fourth pillar of Islam. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us the command that we have to fast. Like he said in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 183, famous verse about that. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who have believed, it was ordained that you fast like the ones before you, so you may become righteous. So this is the command of Siyam. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us many etiquettes, many manners, what to do during Siyam. Like the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, الصيام جنة فإذا كان صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث ولا يسخط فإن سابه أحد فليقل إني صائم. In this, the general meaning of the hadith, Siyam is manners. We always think of Siyam as just food. He's telling us it's manners. When you are fasting, you should have good manners. So no quarrels, no fighting, no cursing. And if somebody curses you, then you say just simply to them, I am fasting. I cannot go lower to your level of cursing on me. Also, he told us when to start the month. He said, صوم رؤيته, fast when you see it, the crescent of Ramadan. وافطر لرؤيته, and when you see the crescent, the end of Ramadan and the beginning of Sha'ban, then you make the iftar. That's your Eid. فإن غبي عليكم أو غم عليكم فأكملوا عدة شعبان. If it is cloudy, then complete it to 30 days. Or complete Sha'ban to 30 days before the start of Ramadan. And also, he told us many occasions which can be very rare. Like also the same narrator, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased to him. He said, من أكل ناسيا وهو صائم فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. And if somebody forgetting and ate something, and this may happen at the beginning, the first week of Ramadan, the first few days, people are not still used to that. Then if somebody eats or drinks, just continue. It's nothing like that in the Quran. It's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam telling us. And also recommending a suhoor, saying, تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us about that, did not condition it, did not recommend it. The Prophet is telling us, make suhoor, eat suhoor. It gives you strength. It has blessing, barakah. You are going to your work. You need to be ready. Finally, Al-Hajj. The fifth pillar of Islam is making the pilgrimage to Mecca, to Baytullah al-Haram, to the fairest house of Allah on earth, for those who are capable financially and physically. And the famous ayah for Hajj is Ali Umran, chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, verse 97. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. Allah has ordained al-Hajj that he expects people to make it, those who are capable to do that. And also so many other verses like in Surah al-Hajj and in Surah al-Baqarah. But these verses, all of them, did not tell us the specific rituals of al-Hajj, a specific succession of stages of Hajj. Like when we start in Mina, then this is in the 8th of the Hijjah. Then we go to Arafat. That's the ninth standing in Arafat. The Holy Quran does not say that. Then we, after praying Maghrib in Arafat, we go to Muzdalifah. And we stay there until midnight. Then the pilgrims start going towards Al-Kaaba al-Musharrafah to make tawaf and to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Then going back to Mina and throwing the stones. All these stages and specific steps were not told in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made it very brief, concise, for generations after generations. God knows when it will continue. So anybody who attempts to claim that Sunnah is different from or can be separated from the Quran, it's just not right, to say the least. I don't want to say more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the Sunnah of the Prophet and make us knowledgeable about it, educating ourselves about it, and educating our children, our friends, and our communities. And ask Allah, He is very close to you, answering your call. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatim al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. Having said all of this, and we know, like I mentioned earlier, that there is a huge number of ahadith collected by the 14th books of the Sunnah, and mainly Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And after taking away the da'if, and the mawdu', there are fake hadith throughout the centuries, just like you see in our time people who hate Islam and they don't like it and they may write something bad about it. There was the case throughout the centuries. There were even people who made hadith, fake hadith. So having said that, Sunnah is the second source of tashri' in Islam, and you cannot separate it from the Holy Quran. We cannot exaggerate. We should not use da'if hadith. We should absolutely make sure that the hadith we use is the sahih hadith. And the scholars of Islam did wonderful work. We have it in many books. I mentioned Salih Ahmad al-Shami, and you can Google him. He has a great website and so many books about that. And Al-Imam al-Nawawi, Riyad al-Salihin. Most scholars who scrutinized Riyad al-Salihin said most of it is really sahih. Very few are not. And Imam Nawawi told the readers, this is da'if. Also, when you read Tafsir al-Quran for al-Tabari, al-Qurtubi, and Ibn Kathir, they also tell you, they bring explanations, but they tell you, this is sahih. Oh, this is qawi, this is sound, this is correct, or this is weak hadith. They say that. Or even sometimes they say it's not logical, it's not going with the Quran. So nothing is really secretive. It's just we need to open our eyes and read, and inshallah we will be guided the right way. بإذن الله تعالى اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا دينا إلا سددته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا غائبا إلا رددته ولا حاجة شرعية إلا قضيتها لنا يا كريم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وأقم الصلاة فإن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
استقيموا واعتدلوا وأكملوا الصفوف. Straighten the lines, complete them. It's a sunnah. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله، فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء، والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام